Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Cohey.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Dirks excused. Edmonds.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Gilmore.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Hales. Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Jorgensen excused, Landon excused, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson,
here.
Philp, Philp,
here.
Korberg,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Simlick,
here.
Shepperson,
here.
Stewart,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Thompson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Swanitzer Dan,
here.
Swanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
57 present, 3 excused.
The prayer today is by the Reverend Trudy Robinson, representing First United Methodist Church in Cheyenne. Reverend Robinson.
Thank you, and thank you for having me this morning. It's always a pleasure and a privilege. Will you pray with me? Oh, holy God, our day has already started. Planning, strategizing, contemplating, writing, calling, working. But we stop long enough to breathe, to notice, to remember, to be still, and know that you are God. We are still easily distracted with things undone, with worries unaddressed, with hopes still brewing, with the things of our lives that we push aside in order to work. Help us stop and breathe anyway. Help us remember still. Help us know you are God. And in our knowing, let us give you the things that we cannot manage alone, the things that our wisdom alone cannot understand, the things that our power alone cannot fix, so that when we get back to our distractions, we will find peace that will overtake the worries and hope that will fuel a new day. And when we return to the work already begun, may we plan with your wisdom, think with your thoughts, and work to your ends. O Holy One, we stop and breathe deep your presence, your peace, your will. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was perfect, Trudy.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you very much.
See you.
It's great to see you again.
See you tomorrow.
I'll be here.
Have a good day.
Will the House please come to order? The doctor of the day is Dr. Michael Jording from Newcastle. Welcome, Dr. Jording. Thank you for being here today. Madam Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor to introduce our nurses of the day. And I am proud to introduce two nurses from the Wyoming State Hospital who will be with us today and tomorrow, Dorothy Seisenbach and Tanya Lazaro. So please welcome them. Thank you.
Welcome, ladies. Thank you for being here today. Representative McKim, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce to you students from the Star Valley Middle School, accompanied by their principal and teachers up here in the balcony. Would you please welcome them to the House today?
Welcome to the People's House. Welcome from Star Valley. Nice to see you today. Chairman Illaway, you may have privilege over the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Because of some scheduling that will be going on shortly, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet today, but instead of noon, we will meet at 1 o'clock. And I wanted that to go out over the web if anybody was listening that was going to attend to listen to Senate File 145 in Gross, Hospital and Healthcare Districts, Senate File 118 in Gross, Continuance of Insurance Coverage, and Senate File 80 in Gross, Electrical Installation Exceptions. We will meet at 1 o'clock for 1 hour.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 23rd has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Muniz, Representative Barbuto.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 342, Mr. Speaker. The Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 96, Railroad Quiet Zones, ayes 14, no 16. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Message 343, Mr. Speaker. The Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Joint Resolution 9, Wind Energy, ayes 1, noes 29. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Message 345, Mr. Speaker. The Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 237, Name Changes, sealed. Ayes 9, noes 20, excused 1, signed. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Signed, Diana Williams and Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 346. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 53, Property Tax Deferral Program. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listable by the vote indicated. Ayes 29, no 0, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 88 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bagby, Barbuto, Kennedy, Gingrey, Mercer, Patton, Throne, no, Peasley, excused, Quarberg, signed, representing Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 34. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Edmonds, Gilmore, Moniz, Semlak, Teeters, Wallace, Wanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Semlak, Chairman. The bill was further referred to committee number... Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 66, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Boner, Escobel, Goggles, Harvey, Shepperson, no. Helen Ann Millen, excused. Davison, signed, Representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 93, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Boner, Escobel, Goggles, Helen Ann, Harvey, Landon, Millen. No. Shepperson, excused. Davison, signed, Representative Landon, Chairman.
Chairman Gingrey.
Mr. Speaker, I need to re-refer Senate File 88 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Any other re-referrals? We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 9.
Senate File 9, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to the state engineer permit application.
Senate File 9 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 13.
Senate File 13, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish regarding shed antler collection.
Senate File 13 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 23.
Senate File 23, introduced by Senator Massey, an act relating to the Education Loan Repayment Program regarding the nursing degree.
Senate File 23 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 37.
Senate File 37, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to standards for antifreeze and petroleum products.
Senate File 37 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 57.
Senate File 57, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to rental vehicle agencies.
Senate File 57 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. According to House Rules 9-3C, I ask that Senate File 72 be laid back one day.
You've heard the is there any objection? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 72 will be laid back on second reading until tomorrow. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 84.
Senate File 84, introduced by Senator Hastert, an act relating to crimes and offenses regarding aggravated assault choking.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 84 and ask for your favorable consideration. What this amendment does is essentially deletes Section 5, but leaves the changes in Romanet 1. And we had some discussion about this yesterday, and really Section 5 is just a subspecies of number 1. There are really no elements that are not in common between 5 and 1. And the concern is you could go through and list out probably another 23 subsections that list out specific ways that you can cause or attempt to cause serious bodily injury. But we have under subsection 1 the authority that folks need to charge choking or any other attempt to cause serious bodily injury. And so I think it's appropriate to remove Section 5. There was some discussion yesterday regarding the reasoning behind leaving 5 in, and the discussion was, well, it's sometimes choking doesn't leave physical evidence and it's difficult to prove, but that, I believe, is taken care of with the amendment to Section 1 on the causes or attempts to cause serious bodily injury. And in that circumstance, you don't have to show the evidence of the injury as you did under the old form of the statute. So with that, I would move for your favorable consideration.
Representative Throne. Would you like to defer?
Would like to defer.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge your aye vote on this amendment. I think it improves the bill. I brought this up in committee, actually. It accomplished the same thing. We're still getting to the same goal, but we're doing it more simpler and more efficiently. And I'd urge your aye vote on the amendment.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Swimming upstream here. I would urge your no vote on this amendment. The specific reference to choking is important to dealing with the specific issue of choking, which is different than other forms of aggravated battery. It would be preferable to at least some of the prosecutors who take these cases to have this language in statute. Makes it easier to charge, makes it easier to present. More importantly, makes it easier to present to the jury to get the right jury instructions. If you go back and you look at the definition of serious bodily injury, we do have some laundry list items in serious bodily injury. For instance, miscarriage, and it's also included in aggravated battery, or causing bodily injury to a pregnant woman is specifically listed. So it's not that we don't have specific items listed. The specific items are listed for a reason in the aggravated battery statute. And choking is one of them that, to fully protect the folks that might be victims of this crime, choking is specifically listed for a reason in this bill. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, ladies and gentlemen, Senate File 84 is absolutely essential. And the reason it's essential is because the language on page 2, line 1, we added or attempts to cause. The discussions yesterday on Committee of the Whole were in regard to a very serious case where the victim at the end of the day did not meet the definition of serious bodily injury. So what happens is before you had just causes serious bodily injury. Well, if a victim recovers such that they don't meet the definition of serious bodily injury, then a jury could say, oh, well, in the end, the perpetrator didn't cause it. Well, how do you fix that? You fix that by adding or attempts to cause. So even if somebody does something as awful as was described yesterday, the fact was they attempted to cause serious bodily injury, even though at the end of the day the person recovered fully and does not technically meet the definition. So that fixed that Supreme Court concern that was elucidated yesterday. The other case that or attempts to cause fixes is another Supreme Court case that talked about if you're going to charge the inchoate offense of attempt, it needed to say so in the specific statute, even though under 61301, attempt is actually a kind of another crime, just like conspiracy, for example. So the language that's important in this bill is on line one. We need to keep that. We need to keep this bill alive. It's very important. Five is not necessary. I can give you a laundry list of other circumstances that five won't even help you with. One, the new language in Romanet 1 takes care of the situation in 5. Because if you look at it, there's no difference. Both of them have serious bodily injury. Both of them have the language of manifesting extreme indifference to the value of human life. The difference is this choking language. Number one, it's not necessary because it's covered under Romanet 1. Number two, you can use an example any way you wanted to beat on somebody with something that is not traditionally considered a deadly weapon. And the argument here is for choking, well, hands aren't traditionally considered a deadly weapon, although they certainly can be, just as shoes can be when they're on somebody's feet, of course. But you can take a situation, for example, as strange as it may sound, and say, well, what if somebody took a key and pulled someone's hair and gouged into their eye with the key? Well, unless we list that as yet another circumstance, just like choking, it doesn't do us any good. And so one of the reasons I don't like the language in 5 being in there is because I can think of 10 other examples right off the cuff that if we're going to make a laundry list of every scenario where somebody can beat on somebody else, but at the end of the day they recover, then we're going to be adding more to our statute. And I would submit to you that's completely unnecessary given the language in Romanet 1. The other thing is I contract prosecute for two counties. I did have personal conversations with other prosecutors on this. Five would help you write a jury instruction, to be sure. But again, you leave out 9 or 10 other scenarios that I can think of. And if you want to add a laundry list to the statutes and make them longer, then don't support the amendment. But if you want it to be taken care of with the language in Romanet 1, vote aye on the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question. Reading through the bill, and the bill title is on choking as aggravated assault, and what this amendment does is takes out pretty much all the language detailing what an assault by choking would be and really leaves in only or attempts to cause. And so I'd like someone to explain to me how this bill, how this amendment is actually germane to the bill, because in my estimation it's not germane. So if someone could explain to me why it is, so I don't have to call a Rules Committee meeting, I'd explain that. I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Representative Connolly, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I think my question goes along with the good representative from Laramie County. If choking isn't right now considered aggravated battery, I'm not sure how Romanet 1, attempts to cause, is enough language in there to now make choking enough of seriously bodily injury to invoke the aggravated battery statute. So this is really a question for the bringers of the amendment. If this language is actually doing or has the possibility of doing what you say it can. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time, prior to the sponsor, Representative Throne. Ladies and gentlemen, we are looking at that issue that's raised on the germane nature of the amendment, and prior to any voting, I'll let you know what the chair feels on that.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In response to the good representative from Goshen County, upon further reflection, I do not believe that the attempts to cause language perhaps provides enough protection. In fact, I think leaving the specific language in Romanet 5 actually probably narrows the statute. If you just leave it at attempts to cause bodily injury without any further defining of when choking is really a serious threat to somebody's life, you've actually expanded the scope of the statute. I think the specific reference to choking would not only help prosecutors, but could in fact, and he's getting up to rebut my brilliant argument, could in fact have the unintended consequence of actually allowing frivolous prosecution of choking. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Just briefly, I almost said Your Honor. Mr. Speaker, the good representative from House District 11 is correct in the sense that the attempts to cause language is very broad, and that's why I argue for the amendment that excludes 5. Because the new language in line 1 is broad, it covers the gamut of situations where somebody can take an object or beat somebody up, and at the end of the day, they don't meet the definition of serious bodily injury. And because it's broad, we don't need to have one narrow exception in Romanet 5. And like I said, I do this as part of my private practice, and I certainly am telling you I want the tools to do this, and this is a great bill, but I don't need 5. And of course, on the last comment, I believe I've got the discretion where I'm not going to prosecute somebody frivolously because the language in Romanet 1 is so broad. That's the good thing about this language, is that it is broad because it covers all the situations such that you don't need Romanet 5.
Representative Stebson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple of points. There was a statement made that choking is different than all other species of attempting or causing serious bodily injury, but I never heard an explanation of why that is. I mean, every effort may be a little bit different to cause serious bodily injury, and that's why you include the broad reference in Section 1 so that it covers all of those. There is, under the definition of bodily injury, some specific descriptions of what that may entail, but that's very, very different than what we're talking about here, because that you're talking about what the result is, what the result of the action is, and different kind of results of examples of what serious bodily injury may be. Here, you're culling out one species or one type of effort to create serious bodily injury and creating this special statute for it. And I think, actually, why would you want to narrow down this section? Don't you want there to be as much authority if somebody in any way, I mean, we can be very creative sorts of people, and we can be creative in the ways we try to harm other people. That's why we want to leave the language broad and eye, so that any effort to cause serious bodily injury can be charged under the section. And so I would just, again, urge you to adopt the second reading amendment and eliminate Section 5.
The chair is in doubt as to the germane nature of the amendment. Would like to have a rules committee meeting, please. Thank you. The Rules Committee has ruled that the amendment is germane and that the catch title, essentially aggravated assault choking, is not limiting to the ability to amend the bill. So we are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 84. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 84 has failed. Senate File 84 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for consideration is Senate File 115.
Senate File 115, introduced by Senator Larson, an act relating to public funds, investment of state funds, revision.
Senate File 115 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 144.
Senate File 144, introduced by Senator Dockstetter, an act relating to taxation and revenue, property tax assessment rules.
Senate File 144, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration, consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move consideration of third reading consent list consisting of Senate File 2 and 45. 82 and 105 have amendments and will be moved to the regular list.
Would anyone like to remove a bill from the consent list? The reading clerk, please read the bills on the consent list through the enacting clause.
Senate File 2, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to insurance companies' financial reporting requirements, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 45, introduced by Senator Cooper, an act relating to improvement and service districts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, aye. Bagby, aye. Barbudo,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Bonner,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
no.
Dirks, Davison, Dirks excused, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Lockhart, Lebno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlek,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 2, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 45, are there any changes? Madden? Aye to no. Davison? Aye to no. McKim? Aye to no. Hallinan, aye to no. Mercer, aye to no. Gingery, aye to no. Korberg, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 49 ayes, 9 noes, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 2 and 45 have passed the House. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage, regular list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 82.
Senate File 82, introduced by Senator Cooper, an act relating to weed and pest districts bidding, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. This amendment was brought onto the floor yesterday, and after looking into it some more, I thought it would be something that we should consider as a body as on a second consideration. My fellow representative, one of them from Sheridan County, asked the LSO to do a little research on what the thresholds were on various bidding amounts. And some of those were very interesting. For example, construction managers and that sort of thing was $35,000. That's understandable. That's a big project. Bridges. County bridges, $25,000 before they have to go to bid. Road construction and maintenance, $50,000. In general services, it was interesting. Some of the supplies and services were $7,500. Hiring of professionals or consultants was $1,500. Small purchases were $1,500. So why should we consider changing the amount that we put up for bid that a weed and pest district would have to bid? And we heard one of the reasons was the cost of chemical. But I think that mainly we're dealing with a lack of information there, because most of the chemicals that are used by weed and pest district that most of us are familiar with, everything from 2,4-D to, I don't know the generic names of some of these, Mr. Speaker, I'll have to say, one of their names is Round, but the generic name of that I do know is glyphosate. That's about $10 a gallon now, because that's off of patent. And other ones, there may be a few that are extremely expensive. Usually those sort of things are an ounce to an acre or something. And they're very rare to use. Most of the chemicals that we use are fairly common. So in an effort to kind of continue what this body has been working on, and that's the sort of things like transparency in government and accountability in government, I just think it's important that we have a realistic number, and the 5,000 is over three times what the current limit is, and I think that would be more than adequate. So I ask for your favorable consideration on this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask you to oppose this amendment. The figures they had, $1,500, was in 1979. That's 30 years ago. And I believe that from what I've heard from my weed and pest districts that the bidding thing is about $8,800 now. And I think that if we give them only $5,000, we're not giving them the chance they need to get their job done. So I would urge your no vote on this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Their second time? Chairman Landon.
Well, Mr. Speaker, if we take the $1,500 and just take account inflation alone, we'll come up with a little over $3,000 that we should be adjusting it to. So this going to $5,000 far exceeds inflation, and I think that's okay. So I still stand by the offer to the body to consider $5,000. If we undershoot on this, and if there's a conference committee, it'll likely come out at $7,500. But actually, I think $5,000 is a good place for it to be. Provides that accountability and transparency that we seek in government. And so that's the proposal that I'd like to put before the body. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 82. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 has failed. Senate File 82 having been read 3 separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
No.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen excused. Landon.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 46 ayes, 12 noes, 2 excused.
Senate File 82. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 82 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 105.
Senate File 105, introduced by Senator Peterson, an act relating to weed and pest control districts, unfair competition, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I believe I failed to move the last amendment. Had it passed, it would have failed. So in this case, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 105. I had some questions from various weed and pest districts. One of them asked me if they could spray for a large ranch. So I thought that it was important that we I said, no, we'll clarify that. I'll come back with another amendment. In the bill, it says that the district is not going to engage in bidding for industrial and commercial properties. And after that, this was an attempt to define that is property that is considered industrial and commercial by the state. Usually that's in taxing purposes, or that it's zoned that way by the ordinance county, usually county zoning or sometimes city zoning, that it's either commercial or industrial property. So this is a clarification of that.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe this amendment is a good amendment. It tightens the bill up and makes sure that everybody understands what page we're on, and I view it as a friendly amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? For a second time, we're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 105. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 is passed. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. Third reading amendment number 1 has failed. Representative Davison.
I want to move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 105.
Please move the amendment. That would be good. Thank you.
Hey. Huh? I move it. I move the amendment. This amendment will delete both Landon's second and third reading amendments, but the third reading amendment didn't pass, so it'll just delete the second reading amendment, I guess. While I respect the good representative's attempts to move with this bill, I would urge you to vote to delete the second reading amendment from yesterday. The weed and pest districts aren't happy about this amendment. Wyoming statute in 1973 gave weed and pest the go-ahead to control designated noxious weeds. If these amendments are left in the weed and pest district, they may not be able to do their job, their regular program, which is to treat noxious weeds. These amendments are not needed. Commercial sprayers can already do work on commercial property, and they don't want weed and pest to bid against them, and weed and pest doesn't want to do that. Weed and pest districts are asking us to leave the bill as it came out of the Senate and let them do their job. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I don't think that this amendment does that at all. This amendment, when you read the bill now, it just says a district shall not engage in. Now I have to get to the amendment. Bidding. That's the key right there. Bidding for application of agricultural pesticides for weed and pest control on commercial or industrial property. So it doesn't affect anything that a weed and pest district does except bidding against commercial applicators for jobs that might be on industrial or commercial property. So what would have to happen? An industrial or commercial business would have to put out a bid request. They'd have to advertise a bid request. And then they would get some bids back in. And it might be private applicators, commercially licensed. Or the way the rules stand now is the weed and pest district can bid also. Well, I don't think the weed and pest district should be bidding, because the weed and pest district is being supported by commercial businesses and by you and I. One mill property tax in every county supports the weed and pest district. So that gives them an unfair advantage in a bidding process. Now, how else could a commercial or industrial property ask the weed and pest to come spray weeds on their property? Well, simple. They could just call them up and say, you know, would you come spray the weeds on my property? And they'd say, yeah, it'll cost you $35 an hour or whatever. So, you know, there's no bidding process going on there. Or if they bid it and nobody responds to the bid, then go ahead and contract with the weed and pest. Or if they bid it and the bidder says, I don't want any of you guys doing this, I'm going to not hire any of you, then I think they could make an agreement from the weed and pest. So this is affecting nothing that the weed and pest does, none of their general activities, except bidding in this very specific little part for commercial and industrial type jobs, and that would just be responding to a bid. And I just didn't think it was unreasonable for us to build a wall between bidding by agencies that are supported by taxpayers' dollars and the private enterprise. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ambivalent on the amendment, but completely against the bill at this point, because here's the problem. Regardless what you do with the amendment, the bill's in trouble. The way, if you pass the amendment and take it back to the way the bill reads now, it doesn't do anything, because districts don't do bare ground application of pesticides for industrial weed control as is. I mean, we're passing a state law in its current form. If we pass this amendment, that doesn't really affect anybody and no one really cares about, because they don't do it anyway. If we take this amendment out and we leave it the way we did yesterday, the weed and pest control districts in our state are against the bill, and they're going to be very upset at us that we ever brought it and did this to their lives. The truth out there is there are not enough applicators to compete in the market. And so if we take the weed and pest control district in every county that we already have out of the equation, I personally do not believe there is enough competition and enough applicators throughout the state who do industrial and commercial application that you're going to be able, you could be held hostage, basically. If you're an industry or commercial operation, you may have to contract 200 or 300 miles away And so competition is good. I do understand that sometimes the county can compete at a lower price, but I guess I haven't heard a lot of problems happening now out there in the counties. This was one specific constituent in one district that was a little upset on how he didn't get a job that he wanted, and somehow it turned into a bill at the state legislature that we're spending way too much time on. So I guess I would be more in favor of the amendment, taking out what we did yesterday, because then it's a harmless law, but I'd ask you to kill the bill at this point, regardless of how you vote on the amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Many years ago in another life, I understood about weed and pest control districts because that was my responsibility, but it's been many years. But I'm on and for the amendment. If you take a look at how it came out of the other body, it said a district board shall not engage in competitive bidding of bare ground application of pesticides for industrial weed control and so forth. Now we've changed the entire intent of what happened, because now it says a district board should not engage in competitive bidding for the application of agricultural pesticides for weed and pest control and so forth. Now, I just finished talking to a weed and pest control district in the western part of the state who said, most of our land that we do noxious weed control, because that's what we're supposed to do, noxious weed control, is on some industrial areas. If you disturb land, which happens in the western part of the state and in a particular oil and gas field, if you disturb land, what do you get? Noxious weeds. So that's what they do, is that those companies that are producing hydrocarbons call them up and say, hey, we have noxious weeds out here. We'd like you to come out and spray the noxious weeds. We're changing the entire intent of this bill when we tucked out the bidding of bare ground applications. They don't do it. They don't want to do it. They don't have any business doing it. It's not in the statutes. What's in the statutes is that weed and pest districts control noxious weeds. So on and for the amendment.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think there's quite a bit of misinformation going around right now about what the bill has been, what the bill hasn't been, what weed and pest districts do and don't do. There are weed and pest districts in this state that do bare ground application. We wouldn't have the bill otherwise. And that's why the bill's scope has been limited to that. When the bill was in the Senate originally, it looked more like the form that it's in right now after the second reading amendment. So the real question for me when I signed on to the bill was whether or not you believe a governmental entity should be in open competition with private industry. And I fundamentally believe that they should not be. They're subsidized with the mills. They don't have to account for the equipment that they have when they go to set a bid, because that equipment's been paid for through taxes. And so I guess at this point, I wasn't going to speak on this, but I think that it would be good to leave the bill in the form that it's in right now, coming from second reading, because that will allow us to continue the dialogue with the Senate about whether or not we really believe it is the role of government to be competing with private industry. So the bill is needed. I think it is important. And when I talk with my district back at home, they're not interested in competing with private industry. If somebody wants to go out and do an application, they're more than willing to let that person do it because they have more than enough to try and take care of. Nothing in this bill prohibits them from working on private land. Nothing in this bill prohibits them from working on right-of-ways, working on state land. We're simply limiting the scope of the bidding to commercial lands and industrial lands, which I think is a very small sector and something that they probably shouldn't be in competitive bidding in. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time, Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I'll just share with the body that the second reading amendment was made after consulting with the sponsor on the other end of the hall. He told me that the intent had been changed and that we saw a changed intent in the engrossed copy, and that the amendment was to bring it back to the original language. Actually, it was improved as well, because in there it said something about private applicators. Well, now it says commercially licensed applicators and a few other things that are really better. So I think that we are returning to the original intent, and so I would urge the body to vote no on the amendment and vote for the bill.
Representative Davison, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge you to vote yes on the amendment and yes on the bill. This amendment isn't even needed. The amendment that was put on yesterday isn't even needed. Commercial sprayers can already do work on commercial property and industrial property, and they don't want weed and pest to be in it, and weed and pest doesn't want to. The weed and pest districts are asking that we leave this bill in the form that it came from the Senate. So please vote no on yes on the amendment and no on the or yes on the bill. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 105. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. Reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 105 is passed. Senate File 105 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Bagby, Barbuto, Berger, Blake, Bonner, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison,
aye.
Dirks excused, Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen excused, Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lebno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
Meyer,
aye. Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
no.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gingery, aye to no. Landon, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 50 aye, 8 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 105, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 105 has passed the House. We are at that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. First message for our consideration is message number 332 on House Bill 207, Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, I move message number 332 and ask concurrence for House Bill 207, Internet hunting, and ask for your aye vote. Basically what the Senate did, both on the opening clause and on line 1, or page 1, line 2, and then on page 1, line 15, they added or animals or animal, which is still acceptable for on the Internet hunting issue. And again, I would ask for your aye vote if there are no questions.
Anyone else for their first time? Your second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 207. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan. Hammonds, Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen excused, Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg, Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Teeters,
no.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 207. The next message for our consideration is message number 333 on House Bill 226. Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on the amendments to House Bill 226 and ask for your no vote. Members of the body, this deals with the state land grazing lease. You recall we had a good debate on this bill in regard to the way that the House position of how we would set the rates for the grazing leases on state lands, and we talked about the ability to find a good basis for doing that, and we talked about going into the agricultural statistics information and seeing what those rates were on private leases, and say this should be a good foundation for determination of how to do this on public lands. So we had that good debate, and when the other body took a look at this, I don't know the exact term, legal definition of what arbitrary and capricious is, but it seems to me that the amendment that they put on this, really, in setting the state fees on grazing leases at 150%, really seemed to be arbitrary and capricious to me. So we need to go back. I would ask that you vote no. We'll go back to them and see if we can find some middle ground there. So again, Mr. Speaker, I would ask that you vote no on the concurrence to House Bill 226.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 226. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
No.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson,
no.
Childers,
no.
Cohey,
no.
Connolly,
no.
Kraft,
no.
Davison,
no.
Dirks excused, Edmonds,
no.
Edmonds,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Gilmore,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Hales,
no.
Hallinan,
no.
Hammonds,
no.
Hammonds conflict, Harshman, Harvey,
no.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jorgensen excused, Landon,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Lubno,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Miller,
no.
Millen,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Patton,
no.
Peasley.
No.
Patterson.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Philp.
No.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
No.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Steward.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 1 aye, 56 noes, 2 excused, 1 conflict.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill, to House Bill 226. We're at the order, that order of business of consideration of Joint Conference Committee reports. The first report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee number 1 on Senate File 53. Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we accept the conference report and urge you to, ask you to vote aye. This is at the tax deferral program, and what we have done, what the conference committee did, I see there's only 2 signatures there because we think there might be some controversy. Those of us didn't know if the House position was completely understood in relation to the Senate position. So the conference committee says there's no middle ground. So we just decided we better try one or the other, and that's up to you to decide. I'll give the Senate version and debate on that side of it, and somebody else will take the House side, and then you can decide which way you want to go. If there's you want to remember, this is already on the books at 150% of poverty level. It's a deferral program. The tax will be paid sometime. It's a deferral program, and it's a county option. It's up to the county commissioners to decide whether they want to do it or not. And if they do choose to do this program, a homeowner, can defer up to half of the tax till they get to the assessed valuation of that home at 4% interest on that lien. Then it'll be a lien on the property. The county can transfer that lien to the state treasurer, and then they'll hold the lien at 4% using permanent mental trust funds. That does not change anywhere. You want to remember that this is a deferral. The tax will be paid. The Senate version, which I am, if you all get, you have a piece of paper on your desk that gives the Senate version and the House version of those things. The real difference, of course, is the 250% of poverty level. The Senate version says that an applicant that is a homeowner, is over 62 years of age, doesn't make any difference how much their income is, they can apply for this deferral. The applicant is a homeowner that is disabled, doesn't make how much their income is, they can apply for this deferral if the county commissioners have designated this as an option in that county. The applicant is a homeowner and has owned that property for at least 10 years. Doesn't make any difference what their income is. They can apply for this deferral. Or if the applicant, any applicant that owns a home has less than 250% of property level, they can apply for the deferral. And that's the Senate's version, and that's a yes vote will take us to that Senate version. A no vote will take it to the House version, and I would like to refer that side of the debate over to Representative Madden at this time.
Representative Madden.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hope all the members of the body could sense the good chairman's lukewarm enthusiasm with the Senate version. the whole key here is, folks, is whether we want to make a requirement that income is a condition that has to be met in terms of being 250% of poverty or below, okay? If you look at the Senate version, it doesn't matter what your income is as long as you meet one of the other three, all right? The only people that wouldn't be eligible for the Senate version is a young person who makes a lot of money who isn't disabled. Everybody else falls in one way or the other. What we have had in this program ever since its inception is an income needs requirement. All right, that's the absolute thing that needed to be required, but any one of the other two or other three would be required. I feel that we need to stick with the House version. You know, if it's really a needs-based program, the other thing you have to look at is that when we changed that income limit from 150 up to 250, it changed that income level from 32,000 approximately all the way up to 53,000. 250% of poverty is 53,000. So we've already relaxed it considerably. And essentially what we're doing in the Senate version would be to, you know, more or less take the income screen out of the whole system. So I think we should vote no on this concurrence and stick with the fact that we've got a kind of a needs-based program. It has many unintended consequences. If there wanted to be a tax revolt, sometime in the future, and we left it as the Senate's version, it's almost a legalized mechanism for doing it because there's no requirements for requesting a deferral left. So thank you very much.
Representative Miller, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the House version, so against a concurrence, the House version is more restrictive. Again, remember, this program is already in place. Both sides are making it more permissive than it is right now with this 250% of poverty level. The Senate version, you know, basically almost everyone's going to qualify. If you've lived in your house more than 10 years, you qualify. If you're disabled, you qualify. If you, as a family of four, make less than $53,000 a year, you qualify. Again, this is a tax deferral. If we go into a, I hate to use the D word, but we hear it bantied about all the time, our counties are going to lose half of their property tax revenue because everyone essentially will qualify for this. So I urge you to vote no on concurrence and then send it back to the Senate and to committee and see if we can negotiate the House side of this. We had this very debate in the committee, and it was real clear that it's way too permissive, the Senate version. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman McComey, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I see this as a two-headed monster. The Senate version would make it so I don't think if I was a county commissioner, I'd ever implement the program. And the worst thing that can happen if we adopt the House position is the bill dies and we stay with the 125 or 50 that we've already got. So I urge the body to vote no.
Representative Hammonds, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The only reason I'm speaking is because, once again, as we discuss property tax programs in this state, I just think it's very important that you come back to a philosophical base about where you stand. And interestingly, what I'm hearing is a strong argument for qualifications. That is, what is your income? Who really needs it? Let's help those people who really need it. And yet this same body passed the homestead exemption in which there is no qualification. So I'm struggling with the philosophical bent of where we are. Now, I suppose an answer might be, but that other one is just a one-time situation and when we have the money. However, what you see before us is a tool for those counties who have such disproportionate amounts of value increases in their houses. And we can name those counties. They're the ones whose representatives year after year have come back to us and said, please help us. And so many of our other counties didn't have the same situation, and so we didn't have a majority who could help them. This is a tool that can help those counties that have that situation. And so you come to the issue of putting a lid on it in terms of who qualifies. In fact, some of those counties have a different income structure than many of our other counties. I'm from one of the poorest counties, and so I look at, in my school districts, 50% of the kids qualify for free and reduced lunch. We are lucky to get $8 an hour in my county. And yet there are other counties in the state where they have very good paying jobs, and in fact, when they've tried to put in the deferral program, what do we have? I can't remember, is it 4 or 6 people in the whole state of Wyoming who have applied for this program? And it wasn't until listening to this debate that I realized it was because of the income qualification. And so I think the Senate proposal actually has some merit to it, perhaps for some of our counties and not for all of them. I know from my perspective, when I have listened to people, when I've talked to a room full of people who are mad about their property taxes, they all go, oh, I wouldn't put a lien on my house. There's no way I would ever do that. So there are very few people, many of our Wyoming people, who want to do that. But is this a tool, the Senate version, that will enable some of those counties where you really have different kind of income structures to fully participate for the real critical issues that are happening in, quite frankly, the western part of the state, which is so very, very scenic and has attracted outsiders who have skewed their housing market. Anyway, those are just some thoughts that I have about it, and I understand the desire to continue to debate with the Senate, and sometimes we end up compromising at higher levels or different levels. But I just wanted this body to think about the one bill that we did pass regarding property tax relief, and that one was no qualifications with regard to income. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Helena.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under the Senate version, I guess I would be a double crowner, so I would get this deferment. On the House version, I wouldn't get it. And I think people that make, I'm not bragging, I don't make a whole lot of money, but I don't think people like me should be able to avoid paying their property tax. And I say avoid because present value of money, the money today, how many of you would like to have a check of $10,000 today versus somebody saying, well, I'll give you a check of $10,000 10 years from now? The present value of money is going to decrease. So the recipients, the local entities or entities that receive these tax dollars are going to get dollars that are reduced in value by inflation. So everybody here that qualifies would be smart. If they qualify to go under this, whichever version, they'd be smart to defer their taxes because of the present value of money and the loss of the value of money. Now, there is a small interest on these deferred taxes, 4%, which is probably going to be a subsidized amount. So I guess I would be for the House version, so that I have to pay my taxes, and some of my colleagues around here have to pay theirs too, and against the Senate version. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, would you come up, please? Madam Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, and perhaps this, I'm going to take the opportunity to talk about this in the form of a question, but it seems to me from statute that, first of all, if you're a property taxpayer, you have to make application to the county to participate in the program. And the other thing, if I understand statute correctly, you can only defer up to one half of your total property taxes that are due. So perhaps someone could enlighten me on this. This does seem to me, the Senate version, appear to have another tool that would make property tax relief available that the county commissioners could utilize. That's what this is about. This is not about a state program that we're paying, backfilling, or anything. This is a decision that the county commissioners are going to be making. and it appears to me probably on a taxpayer by taxpayer basis. So it definitely we are faced here with a policy decision. But I don't know if the someone on the Revenue Committee can answer my question about does it, it looks to me like you can only defer up to one half. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I happen to be one of the poorest people coming from one of the wealthiest counties, but I was just adding up. I think only six people in one of the counties I represented used this before, and once again, it is a deferral. The tax will be paid. But coming from one of the counties that needs this, trying to give some property tax relief to people like teachers, sheriffs, firemen, and people that we need in our county. If a household had a teacher and a teacher's aide, husband and wife living there, they would not be able to use this under the House version the way I read it. I think the Senate version would be better for the two counties that really do need this relief, and I just hope it would not be abused. I urge you to vote for the Senate version, which is an aye. Thank you.
Representative Landon.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I actually worked on this statute a couple years ago, and so I wanted to clarify a couple things for people who had in the interest of better understanding it. First off, and it did get clarified that this is not free. This is with interest. It's a minimum of 4%, and that's compounded. That's not just any one year. And I was looking for it in here. I can't find it, but I know we also linked it to a national index, and it was something like the mortgage interest rate plus 100 or plus 1.5%. For some individuals, and that also compounded. So you could defer half of your taxes in any one year, but that wasn't a free deal. That was compounded interest on that until you paid it back. The counties did not suffer. We made an appropriation allowable from the permanent fund to this account so that counties could do this program, and we actually felt that the return that we got to the permanent fund by property taxes that were deferred plus the interest was greater than what the permanent fund could get from bonds alone. So the counties did not suffer in that case, nor did the state because of the interest rate requirements. So what can a homeowner do if they can't do this and they need a little bit extra money to pay their taxes? Well, they can do a reverse mortgage on their house. But that is a rather drastic action for a homeowner to take, and he may not need all of the money that would accrue to him as on a reverse mortgage, nor want the tax consequences. But in this case, he could defer half of his taxes and do that for every year that makes a lien on the house. And once again, the interest keeps piling up. Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I'm actually kind of a little bit gun-shy to advocate for one or the other because I think I've been advocating for taxpayers, but my amendments have kept losing. But in spite of that, so maybe I should choose the one that I don't want. But it looks like the bar is still fairly high. This is the Senate version is you have to be over 62. I think a lot of us in here that's approaching quick, if not already gone. The applicant has a disability that is defined in statute. The applicant has been in the house at least 10 years, and this seems to be those who are most affected by this. Is they bought their house a number of years ago, and a lot of them are on fixed incomes. They see the property taxes going up, and it's getting to the point where they're becoming fearful. And then we also have the part where anybody could apply whose income level was below 250%. So I guess I'm not too afraid of the Senate version. I think the state remains whole, the counties remain whole, and it could provide some hope or some help for those homeowners who need a little bit of extra to help pay the income tax. So on and for the Senate version.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I think that I'm speaking in favor of the House version so that this can go back to conference committee, because I believe that there is the possibility for a compromise that hasn't been talked about yet. Right now, the House version uses 250% of the poverty level as the qualification, which my good friend from Teton County has pointed out, that's not going to help people in his county who desperately need this kind of relief. A compromise is possible. I think that if another standard is used, that it could take into account counties like Teton County versus other counties. And that is that there is something called the Wyoming Self-Sufficiency Standard that takes into account that it costs much more to live in some counties than others. And so I think using a different standard could take into account the different needs of families in our different counties. So on and for the House version, I believe. Thank you.
Representative Sumlich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem. I just want to offer a perspective. I guess I haven't heard too much about the Senate version is really broadens the tax relief over a more targeted position that the House took. And as we, you know, there's a couple of things that will likely happen in the next 2 or 3 years. One is property values will probably go down, assessed values will go down, property taxes will go down. The other thing that will likely happen is that we'll have less money available to provide targeted tax relief for the citizens of this state. So I would just suggest that when we look at what might be available for targeted tax relief in the 4 or 5 programs that we currently have that are targeted for the really people who really need it, that you know, maybe the emphasis should be on that area. And I recognize that this, you know, it doesn't really cost anybody anything with this deferral program, but again, I guess I would just ask that you consider the House position and vote no.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. As I understand this law now, any taxes deferred, and this is under subparagraph F, 107 Romanet 3F, B3F. Any taxes deferred under this paragraph, which would be distributed pursuant to 3913.111A2A, shall be paid from the county general fund, subject to reimbursement, when the deferred taxes are paid by the taxpayer or otherwise collected by the county. The Board of County Commissioners may, by December 1st of the year, in which the first installment of deferred taxes are to be paid, make application to the State Treasurer for the disbursement of funds pledged by 94701M. I think those are special district tax revenues, if I'm not mistaken. But then when I look at page 3 of the bill, the engrossed bill, section 2 repeals 107B30, which is the lien section of the statute. So as I read it, it's a transfer that the property tax owner gets to defer it. The county government absorbs it by not receiving it, and then we can request reimbursement from the state treasurer under certain circumstances. And then normally the lien would be placed on the property. And under the current version of the bill, there is no longer a lien. And I'd like to know whether I'm mistaken about that, but that's the way I read the bill. So on top of that, with the Senate, with what the Senate has done by broadening it significantly, with no lien and a county requirement to absorb it, I'd like to know if I'm wrong about my interpretation of the statute as it's written, but right now I'm on and for the House position.
Representative Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm also on and in favor of the House position. You know, with some fear of being misunderstood, I see this as an absurd abomination of probably what was a good bill. The subject of targeted property tax relief on this floor has generally been commonly agreed to for the past few years, not universally and not totally, but commonly agreed to, the targeted tax relief to citizens that are in some form of need, kind of be the law of what we were looking for. You know, our charge in the Constitution is for the necessary support of the poor. I sure don't see it this way. As I understand the Senate version, a Hollywood millionaire simply could limit his property tax with a very small interest rate owed on the balance. That's almost crazy. You know, with interest going higher, as was mentioned, and with the value of the dollar going lower, who would pass up a deal like that? On and against the bill. And frankly, if you can't reach a consensus, let it die.
Anybody else for their first time? Anybody for their second time? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I promised the Senate I'd give a passionate plea for their side of the version, so here it comes. Remember that the tax will be paid. The lien, yes, is on it. That, does away with the old dates where it uses 1995, and now it goes to the 10-year deal instead on that. At least that's the way I read it. In reality, I don't see it used very much. Most county commissioners won't want it. Those that do, we've had it on the books for quite a while, hasn't been used much. I would say that if you have income levels well above that poverty level, why would you put a lien on your house just to pay your tax, get off half your taxes? That would have to be paid eventually anyway. I don't see it being used a lot, but in those few cases where it might help someone weather the storm for a year, if indeed the county commissioners wanted to do it, the counties can be made whole if they want to by passing that lien on to the state treasurer. That hasn't happened in the past. I think the total tax deferrals in the state over the years were something like $22,000, all of them put together so far. Of course, that's with 150% of the poverty level. I think we've answered most of those questions. Yes, half of the tax can be deferred. It will be paid either when the property sells or changes hands. And the lien has to be cleaned up. It'll either be paid to the county coffers if they're carrying it, or to the state treasurer if they're carrying the lien. It's not a gift of any kind. It's merely a deferral, and the Senate version says the only people who are not eligible are rich young people who haven't lived in their house 10 years yet, or lived in the state 10 years. It's limited to state residency. You could move several times, and it's on the principal resident. So with that, I hope everybody understands it. That was my main objective, to bring it back so that I think we kind of hurried through it because we were limited on our time and maybe everybody didn't understand the difference between the two versions. Now I hope you do, and vote your conscience.
We are voting on Joint Conference Committee report number 342 to House Bill Senate File 53. A majority of elected members is required to adopt the report. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. No. Barbuto. No. Berger. No. Blake. No. Bonner. No. Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson.
No.
Childers.
No.
Cohey.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
No.
Dirks excused. Edmonds.
No.
Esquibel.
No.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Hales. Hallinan.
No.
Hammonds.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jorgensen excused. Landon.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
No.
Mercer.
No.
Meyer.
No.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen. Peterson.
No.
Philp.
No.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Brechtel? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 6 ayes, 52 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have failed to adopt Joint Conference Committee number 1, Report 2, Senate File 53. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. The next order of business is bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I move that the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
And Representative Byrd. Oh. Hold on. First, you have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Representative Byrd. Motion passed. Representative Byrd.
First thing is to not fall off the podium.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 76. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 76, introduced by Senator Johnson, an act relating to motor vehicles regarding snowplows and emergency lights. This bill was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Cohey, Gilmore, Hallinan, Madden, McKim, Peterson, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Cohey, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Representative Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 76 do pass. There is a Standing Committee Amendment, Mr. Chairman, and I so move adoption and acceptance of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 76 at this time. Members of the House, what Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 does, the original version of the bill suggested that snowplows being used by our state highway agency be allowed to use the color blue. As further explanation will show, the color requested was to be that of blue. The wisdom of the committee suggested that perhaps our agency, as they wanted to take a little study on the issue, be allowed to consider any color that may be somewhat recognizable, particularly at night, with respect to the use of a snowplow. So it inserted the language authorizing lights in the catch title, authorizing lights of a conspicuous color to be used on snowplows. Then it went down further to add on page 2, line 4, to delete the words blue, white, or amber and include the words of a conspicuous color as specified by rules adopted by the department. Members of the House had also changed the implementation date, typical around here, on our annual fiscal year from July 1st, to amend it to read the Article 4, Section 8 language of allowing to become effective as immediately, as soon as possible, upon signature of the governor, which would allow the department to take up the study this snow season or this spring, should they so choose. So, Mr. Chairman, unless there are questions, I move adoption of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 76.
You have heard the motion, the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Cohey.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. For a full explanation of the bill, I defer to the good gentleman from Campbell County from House District 32.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Chairman. This is a very simple bill, but it does cover a very important issue. You'll see on your desk a list of the accidents in 1 year between people driving along the road with snow plows. And that's the issue. Current statute 31-5-928 little d indicates that emergency vehicles will have certain lights. YDOT has indicated that without statute authorizing the snow plows under this the same heading to select a light that would clearly designate them as a dangerous vehicle, really. It's a dangerous vehicle when you drive past a snowplow. The state immediately to our south uses the blue light, and the sponsor of the amendment from the other body thought that that would be our best selection. Our committee worked on this and talked about it with YDOT. They really wanted to have latitude to do a study, select the light, the positioning of the lights to be used on the snow plows. So, very simply, members of the 60th, that is the bill to allow the YDOT to do a study to select the color that's best, the type of lighting, and the positioning of the lighting. And if there are any questions that anybody has, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, if somebody would like to call the question, we can proceed.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Cohey's motion, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 76 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Senate File 76 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill...
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chair, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? No. The motion is adopted. We are in recess until 2.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet at 1 o'clock. That's 1 o'clock, House 18, and we'll discuss Senate File 145, Engrossed Hospital and Healthcare District Services to Providers, Senate File 118, Engrossed Continuance of Insurance Coverage, Senate File 80, Engrossed Electrical Installation Exceptions.
Committee reports. Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet 10 minutes upon adjournment tonight, that is February 24th, in room H-17 to discuss Senate File 119, Engrossed Public Transportation Funding, Senate File 134, Engrossed Embossed License Plates, and Senate File 143, Engrossed Marking Structures That Obstruct Flight.
Representative Philp.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the majority caucus will meet at noon recess, and we will have lunch.
Chairman Childers.
I'm sorry.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet Wednesday, February the 25th at 9 a.m. in room H-10 to consider interim topics.
Chairman Philp again.
The majority caucus will meet in the Herschler building, and we will have lunch on noon adjournment.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet Wednesday morning, 8 o'clock, H-18, to consider Senate File 44, Pipeline Inspection and Safety, and Senate File 108, Engrossed Long-Term Care Facilities.
Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee on message number 315, the Joint Conference Committee on Senate File 111, with the permission of the Majority Whip, will meet immediately in Senate 18 to discuss Senate File 111.
Representative Millen.
The Minority Party will caucus on adjournment for lunch here. But we will not have lunch up in the Minority Floor Leader's office.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 3, Revenue, is going to meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in H-11 to discuss interim topics. And at 6:30, Capital Ministries will be with us again in the Commons there in the Herschler building. Breakfast will be served there.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet tomorrow upon adjournment in room H-10 to talk to discuss interim topics.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee appropriations number 2 will meet upon adjournment today to hear Senate File 88 and any other re-referred bills that come our way. Thank you.
Chairman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joint Conference Committee number 1 on House Bill 11, Dogs Chasing Wildlife, will meet today on adjournment in H-18.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. to discuss interim topics.
Chairman Lubnow.
Mr. Chairman and Ms. Floor Clerk, I have a question first off, and that is whether or not at this time it's proper to re-refer any bills, or whether that has to be done at another time. Come back here. What's that? Okay, I've had my question answered. Thank you.
Chairman Semlek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The House Ag Committee will meet with the Senate Ag Committee upon adjournment to prioritize our interim study topics. Thank you.
The House is in recess until 2 p.m.